Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hi.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we have a very special guest this week. I'm very excited about this show. We've gotten a lot of requests for this, too.
Yeah.
Dory, do you want to intro our esteemed guest?
Yes, yes, yes. So anybody who listens to the show knows that once a year we always talk to a, we like to call them unsung hero of the team. It's the people that really are very integral. They have integral roles, very important to the team, but they're just kind of behind the scenes a little bit. So we don't always get to see him. But this guy, you've seen his work. the beautiful smiles of our Tampa Bay Lightning players. It's Dr. Gil Rivera. He is the team dentist for the Lightning since 2002. Dr. Rivera, we are so glad that you joined us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Now, that's a really long tenure with the Lightning, but I've read a few articles that you've interviews that you've given and been part of, like, really cool stories about dentistry and the NHL. And I read that you didn't even really know that much about hockey until you were going to college at the University of Connecticut.
Yeah, that's correct. I attended my first hockey game at University of Connecticut, and I really enjoyed it. It's just one of those things that we did on a boring night, and we found out there was a hockey ring. We went to go check it out, and then between college winters, we actually bought some skates and started skating around the ponds of Connecticut, and just kind of took an interest in that way.
Okay, so how do you become a team dentist? How do you become an NHL dentist? You were very young at the time.
I was very young. I think I was about 26 or 27, and you know, I kind of fell into it. Basically, what had happened was I moved to the Tampa Bay area in 2001 to do my residency for UF, and as my residency was finishing, I just needed a job, and I went out and I tried to find as many jobs as I could possibly apply for. Once I found out I passed my Florida exam and my boards, I ended up working with Dr. Vince and Dr. Sam Karanantic. And about 3 months after that, they just casually mentioned that we were going to be at the Brandon Ice Forum. I think it was called the Brandon Ice Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a Sunday. And I didn't know what the Brandon Ice Forum was, and I didn't know why they were asking me to work on a Sunday. So I thought, you know, hey, you know, I don't work on Sundays. This is Florida. I just want to go to the beach or get on a boat and go fishing, you know. And,
right.
And then I went home. I was living in this little apartment in St. Pete, and I had a very slow dial-up internet connection. And I looked up, you know, they had mentioned something about Lightning, you know, and I looked up Lightning, and you know, of course, you get, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, Lightning capital of the world. And I just figured, well, that can't be it. And, and then I saw Tampa Bay Lightning NHL. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, wow, this could this be? You know, and I didn't really say anything to them. And I didn't really I just kept it kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had mentioned the name of where the place was, but they hadn't given me directions or anything like that. So I had to Google all this stuff. And lo and behold, the Sunday came around, and I showed up at the place. It was actually a little bit hard to find, and but I think I made it on time. And I walked into the Brandon Ice Forum, and you know, I walked past probably Brad Richards, Vinny LeCavalier, Marty St. Louis, just all on their bicycles, like just warming up their legs.
Wow!
And I thought, oh, okay, this is like the real deal. So. You know, and the weird thing is that, you know, I think those guys didn't mention anything about hockey when I was applying for the job. I didn't know, you know, we didn't know if it was going to work out together. You know, you get a job and you don't know if you're going to make a good fit for the practice. And, you know, I think that's why they hadn't, you know, volunteered that they were doing that. So, you know, Sam and Vince were the original guys that had sat down with Phil Esposito and asked to be team dentist. And I just absolutely had no idea. And, you know, 18 years later, here we are.
Okay, so let us ask. You didn't really, you know what to expect, apparently, but did anybody give you a heads up of some of the injuries that you would be dealing with and treating?
I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had taken some extended classes, and my residency was very good with regards to dental trauma. But there is really no book or manual that can prepare you to deal with these kinds of injuries. With regards to treating them and dealing with them on an emergency basis, or have to just deal with them quickly so that we can get our guys back on the ice or long term, and what it means to be somebody that has a dental trauma versus somebody that has a dental trauma and is a hockey player.
Right. Mm.
So it's just two different worlds, two different timelines, two different flowcharts as to treating hockey players versus just normal people who aren't hockey players.
Yeah, it's not like a, you know, I cracked my crown and I need to come in next week or I need a root canal. It's like my face is bleeding and my teeth are falling out and then like here they are in my hand. What can you do for me? I have to be on the ice in 30 seconds. Go.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that was in a way I just basically was thrown into it and, you know, I just had to use basically basic common sense. You know,
right.
At first I would always ask myself, well, what would I do for somebody that's in my office, but we're not there. So what would I do really quickly, you know?
Right.
And it was just, it was a very sudden way to treat somebody. And I'm like, I have to be super quick about this. And, you know, when they're injured like that, you get somebody that's coming in and, you know, you get this massive player that sits down and they're sweating and they're puffing and you feed off their energy.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you need to kind of calm that stress down and just relax and just look at what the problem is. But you know, it's like, it was very interesting to deal with somebody that literally has just come off and, you know, their heart is racing and they're sweating and it's just like, wow, they just stepped out of their world into your world, and you better do something in about 2 minutes and then get them back out there.
Yeah, and I've noticed because of where I sit for games, like we sit around all the doctors, and like I've said before we started recording, I've seen you a couple times also. But when something happens on the ice, you just kind of know by, you know, the doctors when they go to stand up to go into the tunnel and to go into the dressing room to help whatever player it is, like you – everybody just stands up very calmly and they just descend down the stairs and they're not like jumping up and like hopping over the railing and like it's, you know, like a medical drama on television. I, like you said, you have to be the one to calm the nerves and the energy so that you can treat them and get them back on the ice quickly.
Yes, that's correct. You gotta like basically just keep yourself calm because either the players are the ones that are just super hyper, super active. And I mean, you know, we know that every second they're laying on that chair or that bench for us, all they want to do is just get it back out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like you have this person who just, obviously nobody wants to be there, but they're like, just, they're just so driven to get back out there and help their team out. It's quite amazing. But I just had to sort of quickly learn that. I think some of the injuries that I've seen I don't think anybody could really train me for that. If you're an NHL dentist, you're just going to have just really, really oddball, really weird, traumatic. It's almost like the sport is you're going to have – it's almost a guarantee you're going to have – dental injuries, and they happen so often and so they're so traumatic. I mean, look at Ben Bishop. Who would have thought that a goalie would lose his front two teeth wearing a mask?
Yeah, we are talking to Dr. Gil Rivera. He is the Lightning's team dentist. And yeah, we definitely wanted to talk to you about the Ben Bishop because my understanding is you were not at the game.
I was not at the game, but I quickly got pictures from the trainer during the game or perhaps soon after. I believe that whoever was on staff that day, it could have been our oral surgeon who's, you know, not really dealing with restoring teeth like that.
Right.
But I believe right after the game, I was already getting t- text messages from the trainer of his teeth and of his mouth.
And they're not together.
And they're not, yeah, they're separate pictures.
Yeah, I don't think any like Lightning fan will forget Brian Boyle just casually scooping his teeth off the ice and handing them off. It was like, did he just pick up Ben Bishop's teeth? What,
yeah.
What was that? But you're seeing that through, you know, through pictures. How do you, you know, immediately in your mind as a highly trained, you know,
dental professional.
Yeah, a dental professional that treats this kind of trauma. Are you just immediately, can you through pictures just start in your head piecing together what you need to do when you finally can see Ben?
Yeah, you actually, you can. As long as the right pictures are taken, you can kind of right away have a game plan. And I think the game plan when I got those pictures taken or sent to me was, you know, when can we get Ben in as soon as possible? And what do you think the game plan is going to be? So actually from, yeah, those two pictures I got that day, I already knew what I was going to do. I can't remember if it was the day right after, but yeah, you can. It depends on the pictures taken and the perspective. But that's how quick it happens. I mean, the trainers don't want their guys down.
Sure.
The team doesn't want their guys down. The coach doesn't want their guys down. And it is just super quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's times when, for example, I have had – and those are things that, you know, sometimes people just don't catch, which are quite a bit. I had one time – a hockey player whose puck went and hit their mouth. They were wearing a mouth guard that I made them. And, you know, even I didn't know until the end of the game. I'm hanging around and hockey player comes up and he's like, he hands me my mouth guard and I look at it and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? And he's like, my tooth is in it. So I look in it and half of his front tooth is still embedded in the mouth guard.
Oh.
And I said, oh, it is. And, try it out. And I just get a little envelope and I look at it. And I put it in a little envelope and I basically put it in my pocket. And I said, well, when do you want to come in? And we try to set up a time. You know, that tooth wasn't particularly hurting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think it might have even had a root canal in it or something to that extent. But I think about two or three days later, he came in and I just glued his piece back onto his tooth and it fit perfectly and it hung in there really nice. But those are the things that, like, you know, people, the cameras don't necessarily catch or the guys won't necessarily react to. Sometimes they don't even know. Sometimes they'll just pull their mouth guard and then they'll feel their tooth and then they'll look in the mouth guard and they'll go, oh, there's half my tooth in there.
Right. Or they can be super gruesome. Like one I remember, and I don't know if you treated him, but, you know, Andre Mazaros, like I still see that shot of him on the ice with one of the trainers looking at him and he's just like holding a handful of blood. Like they can be as little as that or as gruesome as, you know, just, oh my gosh, I'm like flashbacking to it in my head. And I'm just like, I don't know. Obviously you're a professional, but for me, it's just, I don't, what do you do? And then I think he was back on the ice, I think before the end of the game or the next game. And like his mouth was wired shut. I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you have to sort of, I by now I'm used to it. At the beginning, I can't say that I was.
That's good to know. Then you're a normal human being.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you know, especially in the beginning, I'm kind of glad that I wasn't given that kind of a traumatic injury because it almost, I was glad that I worked up my way to something like that. But even when I did get my first one, which was Craig McDonald was part of the scene.
Yes, the infamous, gruesome, horrific, traumatic that we wanted to talk to you about. So I'm so glad you brought it up because I was like, should we bring it up or does he want to relive that?
Yeah, that was one that I pretty much had to write as I went along. He was in pretty bad shape the night of. I think his tongue was just about cut off, but the doctors in the training room were able to sew it together. And then the next morning, first he went to the oral surgeon's office to make sure his jaw wasn't broken, because he just had such a violent puck to the mouth. I mean, I think that puck ended up in his mouth. And so once we got his tongue back together and ruled out a jaw fracture, then he showed up at my office, and it was just, you know, I didn't really know what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. I just had him open, and I didn't even see teeth. It was just, everything was just such a, try not to be too gross on the show, but everything was basically just, you know, maroon and brown and black, and it just looked like, you know, torn up gums. And I really didn't know what to do. I didn't even know really what I was looking at.
Right.
And all I could naturally think to do was just to sort of rinse with air and water. We grabbed that
air and water
syringe and just start cleaning up in there.
Oh, and
slowly but surely, after about 30 seconds of doing that, the coagulate that had basically covered his teeth started dissolving, and basically I just saw like four or five teeth cut off at the gum lines, and his nerves were actually longer than his teeth were. So his nerves were all hanging past that point of the fractures.
Oh my gosh.
Once I saw that, I knew that those nerves had to go, and basically started doing, I think, four or six root canals at that first visit.
Okay, at this point, I'm never going to be afraid to go to the dentist again, because this is nothing compared to a cleaning. Oh my word!
It's very nice, actually. One of those. His was a case that that's always been in the back of my head, and I think it was around 2009 where it happened. I think 5 years later, he just kind of happened to pop into my head, because when I see dental injuries, I kind of remember that one. And ironically enough, he actually had found me on, I think it was LinkedIn, on that website, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of weird, because I was thinking about him, but then he had reached out to me, I think a couple of weeks later after I was thinking about him, and I was like, I was just thinking about you, man, and how are you doing? And how are your teeth? And he's like, my teeth are great. It's my real one that broke the other day.
Oh.
And it was really cool to hear that. I was like, oh, that's good. And it was kind of like a sigh of relief too, because, you know, sometimes you treat these players and then they move and they go on to other teams and to go on to other facets of their life. And you wonder about whether your stuff is really holding up. And his was just especially, complicated, and, you know, that was one that was in my head, and you do sit there as a dentist and you think, you know, I wonder if that's still holding up, if that works still okay, you know, and all of that, especially because he still had like a few years in hockey too.
Right,
so that's always the thing you worry about is, you know, every time you fix up a player, you wonder how long it's going to last.
We're speaking with Dr. Rivera, team dentist for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct.
We're talking with Dr. Gil Rivera, the team dentist for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So was the McDonald injury the worst you have ever treated?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you ever had to, do you ever treat the opposing team when they come into town? Or do they have a team dentist that travels with them? I mean, have you ever been in that situation where you have to now take care of another team's player?
Yes. So we are actually required to be on call for the visiting team.
Okay.
During games. And then I've also had teams, for example, if a team came and played the Panthers and in the next 2 days they're supposed to play our guys, I've had teams, players get hurt during a Panthers game, and then their next stop is Tampa, and so they come and see me before they even come and play our guys. And I've also seen guys after they've played our guys, sometimes the day after.
Mm-hmm.
Most teams don't travel with the dentist. I don't travel with our team. There's a few that do. There's a few physicians that do travel with their teams, but I think dentists, for the most part, don't travel. But we are expected to take care of the visiting team.
All right, so I have to know, what kind of equipment do you have with you at the arena? Because my kid's dentist has this 360-degree x-ray machine that's massive, and it's like a whole room. So I'm assuming you don't have that. But what kind of equipment are you working with? Is it like, as opposed, or maybe in comparison to a regular dental office?
We have very, very limited equipment in the training room. As opposed to a dental office, to do dentistry, you have to have a lot of equipment,
yeah,
a lot of materials, a lot of instruments, and it's just not going to happen in a small training room in a hockey arena. Right. So we have, a bag that is full of certain things that we can use. I should say, quote unquote, portable.
Mm. Okay.
But, just simple things like anesthetic. I mean, even just getting a guy numb, getting him out of pain, and then getting him back out there will work. Mm. We have some things like temporary cement. We have guys that I have had a couple of guys from opposing teams just basically pop their crowns off their front teeth.
Mm.
And so, with a little temporary cement, we can kind of mix that and pop their crown back on their tooth and tell them to, go get it cemented permanently with your regular dentist at home. So we have some temporary cement. We also have some endodontic brooches, and those are, for example, if a player breaks a tooth in half and their nerve is exposed and it's just sitting out there, we can get them numb and then just take a little brooch and like just quickly remove that nerve out of that tooth. Put a little temporary filling in that hole and then send them on back out to the ice.
So it's about stop the bleeding, stop the pain, put a patch on it until they can get into your office and you can do more extensive work.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And besides that, besides temporary cement, temporary filling, some brooches, some anesthetics, obviously dental mirror, dental explorer, not much of anything else. There's no x-rays that we can take. There's no, there's no drills. There's no forceps. I mean, all that stuff really needs to be done in a controlled setting, and hockey arena is not going to do it.
All right. So on that note, since you don't have a normal office at the arena, but you sometimes they do have to come see you in an office, what does a normal day in the life of a team dentist entail? So like game day, what does that look like for you?
Well, okay. So game day, when I'm done with my regular office hours, basically, I try to get to the arena around an hour before the puck drops. And, I make these guys mouth guards. So sometimes they ask me to make them mouth guards. Sometimes, for example, it's not just game days. There's practices also. And
right.
Get hurt during practices. And I see guys, when there's not game days, when they get hurt in practice. But for example, I get there about an hour. I check in with the trainer and just ask if there's any issues from previous games, practice, or anything that anybody might have a question on, or even sometimes players have questions about their kids or their wives and things like that. I just kind of check in.
Mm-hmm.
But I just basically try to do a quick check in and get out of their hair because, hour before the game starts, it's busy down there, and those guys are just wanting to warm up and, most people don't want to see their dentist anyway, and those guys, I'm sure, are no different before they start playing a game. So I just kind of check in real quick about an hour before, and then I head on to the probably the media room, and they're very nice. They give us a little meal down there to feed our bodies and nourish our bodies, because usually we go from the office and
right
we go
rink.
From to the office to the from the office to the arena.
Right.
So we don't have really time to go home and like take the dog out or,
right,
change the clothes and get dinner. Nothing really like that. We don't have the time. And so sometimes when I'm eating dinner though, they'll come back and get me, or some other staff might get me. It doesn't necessarily have to be a player. It could be a staff member, that's on the team, general managers or CFOs and things like that. Just questions, in general. And then sometimes when we're done with dinner, I'll either head to back to the training room, or there's a little room by the locker room where you can sit down and watch the game in a screen. Or sometimes I'll just head down the tunnel after those guys are out playing, and I'll just sit in my seats. We have a couple of seats that are near the bench, near the tunnel, mm-hmm. and I think it's actually a rule that any team position has to be within 50 yards yep. of the bench. Mm-hmm. And so those guys know where we sit. So we're either watching the game from our seats or from down in near the locker room down there.
Okay.
And then I'm on standby. And then once the game is over, I usually have to hang out probably half hour to 40 minutes after the game. Because sometimes guys take their time, you know, realizing if there's something wrong, or sometimes they'll wait till the end of the game to have me check them. And then sometimes the opposing team, they're requesting a visit over there. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. And then, I mean, the whole time I'm just kind of praying that nothing goes wrong.
Right.
Really. I mean, I always have a little bit of anxiety that I won't be able to manage some kind of a dental trauma and get the guy back on the ice. But we have so far.
Yeah.
We managed to do it so far.
We're speaking with Dr. Rivera, team dentist for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I've been curious about this my whole, all since I've loved hockey. So guys, their teeth get pretty gnarly playing, you know, with flying pucks and sticks and everything. So do they... Okay, so do they go for the fake teeth or
the crowns?
The crowns before their career is over, or should they wait until after they retire?
You know, I find that it's on a very individual basis.
Okay.
I have had guys that ask me to temporarily put them back together and maybe have something. You know, something temporary, like something removable where they can kind of take their teeth in and out.
Okay.
And, you know, usually they'll ask me for something like that if it's the front teeth. And
right.
I mean, and that has to be if they're missing. Usually if they're missing front teeth, they'll want something removable.
Okay.
Until maybe their careers are done, and then they get them permanently fixed with either bridges or implants. If it's something in the back, they won't necessarily ask me for any of it.
Mm.
Nothing removable, nothing permanent. But again, like I said, it's individual basis. I had one player who lost a front tooth, and you know, we made him a permanent bridge. And I think while he was on the road, you know, when you have a bridge, there's a phase in there where you're wearing a temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have broke his temporary like 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like, I mean, it was a lot of work. Cause he kept, you know, we kept doing, making him a temporary. And, it, you know, of course, he would just pop it. Sometimes the puck would pop it, or a stick would pop it, or him just clenching his own teeth would pop it.
Right.
Because these are made out of plastic, and they're not very strong.
Okay.
And finally, after about 5 temporaries, we made him a permanent one. And, and then, like, a year later, he broke it again.
Oh, my gosh. Were you just like, enough, dude. I'm done.
He wanted another one, and he got another one. So, you know, and I mean, you know, for example, there's guys that if they have big fillings and they're in the front and, for example, they're not losing those teeth, sometimes those do go on and then ask for the crowns because, you know, it's the only thing that's going to strengthen their teeth in the front.
Right.
And I don't blame him. It's more of a nuisance to have to keep replacing a huge bond or a huge filling in the front tooth that keeps popping off. And again, you know, these guys are just constantly getting, you know, their teeth are targets. It's not
right.
like, you know, this wouldn't happen to a normal person.
Right.
But yeah, sometimes they opt for the crowns.
Okay.
So before we let you go, CT and I are big proponents of safety. As I'm sure, you know, you are, the coaches and the player, everybody wants the game to be, you know, as safe as possible. Is there any equipment or improvements that you think the league could maybe implement that could prevent some of these gruesome injuries? Or do you think it's just, unfortunately, the nature of the game that pucks and sticks, these things happen? You know, we've seen people get cut with, you know, skate blades, which is, you know, another one. But is there anything you think they could do a little bit more to make it safer when it comes to these traumatic mouth injuries?
You know, besides wearing mouth guards, and even when you're wearing a mouth guard, that doesn't necessarily protect you. I think Craig McDonald was wearing a mouth guard, and that didn't protect him to the full extent. I think injuries would be a lot worse if you didn't wear a mouth guard, for sure.
Yeah.
The next step above that would just be to, you know, have these guys wear like a cage. And, you know, cages are big, bulky. They obstruct your vision. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, these guys have to look down a lot. And if they have something bulky like that in their mask, they may have a little bit of trouble of, you know, following a puck or seeing what's around them. What's interesting to me is that I think a lot of kids, and even I think up to the college level, they're wearing masks.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, as you know, we have a lot of foreign players. And I don't know what their rules and regulations are with regards to dental safety or safety equipment in those countries. We have players from Czech Republic, Canada, Russia, Sweden. So I don't know what the standards are there. I believe in the United States, they wear cages and or masks up to the college level. And then at some point, they decide whether to wear them or not. But, yeah, if you had to ask me, you know, mouth guard, then a cage, but... You know, good luck trying to get a hockey player to wear one of those.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Rivera, we thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. I've learned so much. I find you absolutely fascinating, and I will never be afraid of going to the dentist again. Like, you have cured that for me, because I've got nothing like these guys have going on, nerves hanging out of mouths and stuff. So we really appreciate you being on and taking time to join us.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. It was fun doing it.
So the reason that we wanted to really, well, we've talked about it. We love having these behind the scene type of people on the show. And we thought about the team dentist. But then it was a little bit ago at this point. ESPN did a story called The Ugly, Gory, Bloody Life, Secret Life of an NHL Dentist. And Dr. Rivera was the dentist they featured.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, we've got to do it now. We've got to do it. Got to get him on. He was fantastic.
I am fascinated.
I am fascinated.
Like, the Craig McDonald one, I'm still, like, getting the heebie-jeebies from. But the fact that they get these guys, well, number one, the players, how they want to get back on the ice, and how the dentists for the team know that, are able to calm the nerves of an uneasy patient. Because, okay, the minute a player has some dental trauma... He is a patient.
Yeah.
And is an uneasy patient, and all they want to do is get back to work. And the way that Dr. Rivera and his colleagues in the NHL are able to not only calm them enough to that they can diagnose what went on, treat what went on, patch up what went on until they can get them into their office and back on the ice to do their job is just mind-blowing.
I mean, the immediacy
of
what he does with very, very little equipment is shocking.
And being able to figure out what you need to do with just photos of a mouth
that's amazing.
Teeth and go, okay, well, he'll need to come into my office and we'll probably need to do this and that and get this guy back on the ice or get this guy back on the road trip or whatever it is.
It's unreal.
You know, but like I said, I will never be afraid to go to the dentist again because of the stuff I've heard. I can go for a cleaning.
You know how they'll take x-rays or whatever, and they're like, oh, we'll give you a call if something. No, you won't. Because I know Dr. Rivera of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he can do this in 30 seconds. So I want my answer now.
Now. They're very different practices.
No,
family,
he's a trauma.
Dentistry,
yeah, right.
And dental trauma.
Definitely.
For a hockey team where hardly anybody has their own teeth anymore. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, we are going to talk about some of the most gnarly dental things that we've seen when we come back in the next segment. But and the story about how he came to be the Lightning's team dentist, it was really fascinating. So we hope you enjoyed it. We got a lot of messages about people wanting for us to talk to him. So I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And we just had a riveting conversation with Dr. Rivera, the team dentist for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And when you think of hockey and dentistry, they kind of go hand in hand. You know, like we said, probably more than half the players don't have their real teeth.
Yeah. And so we started thinking about, well, what are the gnarliest things that we can
remember?
Remember. Now,
we mentioned some of them in the interview.
We do. And we're not going to mention them again.
Well, you know, it was Ben Bishop. Brian Boyle picking up teeth off
the
ice.
That was just so wild because I remember, like, is that his teeth?
Nobody flinched. It's just normal. It's hockey.
Yeah.
Just like there's no crying in baseball. You just pick up teeth off the ice in hockey.
Pick teeth and get back out there.
Yep.
And, of course, we can go back to the Stan Mikita and the the Bobby Hulls, but we're not doing that because that's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
So we kind of thought, let's just stick to maybe this decade.
Yeah. And the other one we talked about was Craig McDonald.
Yes. Yes. And Dr. Rivera
It. Do yourself a favor. If you don't know what we're talking about, do not Google it. Just go back and listen to the Dr. Rivera talking about it. And you can kind of get a gist of what happened. And then I brought off the Andre Mazzaros puck to the mouth thing. That was just, blood everywhere.
I mean, he said their hearts are pumping. So that's making the blood flow even more. And like he said, he brought up a really great point is a lot of these injuries don't even go noticed.
Right.
It's after the fact. They're like, hey, I think my tooth.
Hey, I think
broke.
I'm missing a tooth. Hey, I got a hole in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, hey, here's my mouth guard. Looks great. What's wrong? There's a tooth sticking in it. And that was interesting too, that he makes the mouth guards for them.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So kind of talking about some of the other really gnarly ones.
I love the word gnarly, by the way.
I know.
I just wanted to do this episode so we could say the word gnarly.
I don't know. Gruesome.
Gruesome doesn't. Gnarly.
So I think maybe start with the most famous toothless smile in the NHL.
Okay. Let's
do it. One of your favorite non-Lightning players, Brent Burns.
Oh, because I was going to ask Dr. Rivera about it. Like, when you see a guy like Brent Burns, do you get kind of pissed off that he doesn't have some fake teeth in there?
No, he actually, so I've read a lot about the teeth thing. So it's very, Brent Burns it's very elusive because people are like, when did he lose them? What really happened? I kind of tracked down a little bit.
Did you? Because he's a very interesting character.
He is.
I love
him. Incredible. He is an incredible guy. So I believe what I can track back.
Okay.
Is,
we're tracking back the existence of teeth here, everybody.
Because
this is very hard-hitting journalism.
It is. It really is.
Walter Cronkite would be proud.
I think the first incident in which Burns lost his teeth.
Chicklets.
He lost four teeth after he took a helmet to the face in December 2010.
Ow.
That was the farthest back I could find.
A headbutt to the mouth.
But he also in 2013, he took a punch to the face when he was at the bottom of the scrum in the Shark series. It was like a playoff series.
Oh, wow.
Against the Kings. Okay. And he lost two teeth then. But so through all of this, I'm reading that Brett, he does have fake teeth.
But he doesn't.
Yeah, he says it's just not worth it because he's gone through like so many pair of them. So he just kind of puts them in a drawer. And then when the season's over, this is what he says. He puts them in a drawer. And then after, like, see, every once in a while, every couple months is how he phrased it. He rinses them off and puts them in.
Maybe for a family photo, the Christmas photo.
I mean, but you got to love a guy that's just like, you know what? It's just because you asked Dr. Rivera, you know, do you just wait until after your career? And Burns was kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to wait till my career's over. I just keep getting them knocked out of my face. I mean, that's not that gruesome. I mean,
no,
the helmet to the faces.
No, yeah. Look, anytime your teeth get knocked out, it's gruesome and gnarly.
Yeah.
Let's just be real.
So one of the other ones that I reference a lot because I watched it happen is in the 2010 Western Conference Final.
Okay.
It was a game clencher. I think the Blackhawks were playing the Sharks.
Okay.
Oh, it's all full circle.
All coming together now.
And the infamous Duncan Keith.
I love Duncan Keith, too.
Yep. Duncan Keith, no teeth. Patrick Marleau. Puck comes off his stick. Hits him square in the mouth. Ugh. One of the teeth got stuck in the back of his throat. He lost seven total.
What?
Yeah, so one of the teeth actually got stuck in the back of his throat. That's how hard the puck hit him in the mouth.
Oh my God. Sorry. I just realized it was like dead air.
Wow. Yeah. And he was off the ice for a total of 7 minutes. That's it. Went to the locker.
1 minute per tooth.
Yep. 1 minute per tooth. Went to the locker room. Got a, like some rinsing situation happened. Quick stitches. Bink. Can't stop him. He was an animal back then.
Duncan Keith was an animal.
He really was. I mean, I just remember like, I'm sorry. Why is he out back on the ice? And, you know, I'm listening to like Eddie O at the time. And he's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, this is just, you know, that it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that one.
17 teeth. And one got stuck in the back of his throat, and he was still out on the ice. Like, wow.
Hockey players are just a different kind.
I need to take a day off when I go to get a cleaning.
Yeah, no. No, he just didn't. This is what you do.
I guess playing hockey is off of my list of what I could do in the future.
So
I don't think anybody would want me to anyway, but it's definitely off my list. My parents paid way too much money for these teeth to be straight. They called me mangled mouth, and then they called me the $1 million mouth because like I had braces or some kind of contraption for like 9 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So these are $1 million teeth right here. I still wear my retainer. I had my braces
That's
off when I was
do.
Like in ninth grade.
Yeah, you do.
But I still wear my retainer. Yeah, I'm a dork. But
That's okay.
These teeth. They're a million. My parents did way too much to have these teeth. I would not play hockey and get them knocked out.
All right, so moving on.
Okay, what's next?
2013 Sid Crosby.
Yeah.
When Brooks Orpik's shot smashed Mr. Crosby in the mouth. This is where he broke his jaw.
Yes. Oh, I forgot he broke his jaw.
Yeah, yeah. This is when that situation happened.
That's
so
right.
It's, you know, Crosby goes down. Immediately, there's blood and teeth all over the ice.
Sorry, it's not funny.
It's not.
Just blood and teeth.
There's blood and teeth everywhere. Yeah. 10 total of his teeth were affected one way or another. Yeah. I read that the force from the puck pushed some of them through like the supporting bone structure and severed his neurovascular pulp supply.
Wow.
Which is...
Where'd you get your PhD?
I Googled this. If Dr. Rivera can Google things, so can I. It is the tooth's connection to the nerves and blood supply. It's just
Ooh.
A fancy way of saying it.
Yeah.
And then two teeth went back so forcibly that they damaged the inside of his mouth around his tongue. But, I mean, everybody kind of, you know, oof.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers that. He was the face of the NHL at the time.
Right.
He was the greatest player on earth at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody remembers, you know, Crosby going down and blood everywhere.
Yeah. And Dr. Rivera, he says, you know, first you have to diagnose whether the jaw is broken and how bad that is.
Yeah.
And then you can actually look at the actual teeth and figure out what's the next step.
Yeah.
So I always say I'm one broken jaw away from my goal weight because a lot of times you have to sew your mouth shut and you got to be on a liquid diet. And I'm... You know,
well, I
great
think,
weight loss program.
And here's another.
Sorry.
The next one on our list is also part of the broken jaw.
Broken jaw club.
Yeah. So we're going back to 2017.
Okay.
It was the pitcher tweeted around the world. Do you know this one? Do you remember this?
No. Do
we talked about it.
Did we?
On our show. We did. It was Logan Couture. When he, remember on Instagram or when he took pictures of his mangled mouth and put them for Twitterverse, Instagramville, whatever, to see. And I remember like, oh, why? And we talked about like, man, it was
gnarly.
Don't look it up.
There's the word gnarly.
Don't look it up.
No. Don't
look any of these up.
If you have a weak stomach, do not Google or YouTube
Trust
any
us.
Of these. Because Dory texted me the other night when she was doing research and she's like, I am about to toss my cookies watching these. I can't look at any more of these. So if you've got a weak stomach, do not Google or YouTube these.
Yeah. So the Couture injury, he took a deflected slap shot from his teammate and buddy, Brent Burns.
He's like,
if I don't have teeth, then nobody's having teeth.
Right.
It hit him in the mouth, obviously. He didn't need to have it wasn't required that his mouth be wired shut. But due to some jaw fractures and his lower teeth needed to be held in place, he decided that, let's just wire my mouth shut.
Wow.
And his upper teeth. So he had like wires on the bottom holding his teeth in place, and then wires on top for all the plastic bonding to keep his teeth in his mouth.
Oh, my God. My mouth just hurts.
My mouth just hurts just talking about it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I really just have one more.
All right.
And
what's
then everybody, I know, everybody's like, oh, why am I tuning into this?
Hey, look. Happy holidays, everybody.
You know, listen, friends. This you didn't see the pictures.
Yeah, you didn't have to do the research for it. We're just telling you about
this.
But it is an integral part of being a hockey player. And everybody talks about lower body, upper body injury. But, like, you need your teeth to eat, mm-hmm. you know? And if you're in pain from having a dental trauma, mm-hmm. it's going to affect your play. And that's why these dentists and these oral surgeons are so important to the health of the team.
Very.
Because... you know, you get your energy and your you know, just these hockey players are physical specimens. So they have to be able to eat and ingest food to be able to play a game. So and the fact that we said like pucks are flying, sticks are flying, helmets are flying, you know, anything can happen because the game is so fast. Like these things happen.
Yeah. So.
All right, round it out.
We're going to and I have actually have a
sidebar.
I do have a honorable mention here.
Oh, okay.
These aren't really the worst, by the way, you guys. These are the ones that we found that we could stomach through. Let me just put it that way. There are probably much, but these are pretty gruesome, and I think everybody remembers them.
Yeah.
Good old James Neal. This guy, he's like Brett Burns to me. Like he can't catch a break with his mouth.
The real deal, James Neal.
The real deal, James Neal. So back in February, he lost 8 teeth on that. He says, I lost 8 on that one. That's when you know it's been quite.
Yeah. You've had a career.
You've had quite a career.
Yeah.
So he took a stick to the mouth.
Yep.
A blade to the mouth. The blade of the stick to the mouth basically knocked a whole row of teeth out.
Jeez.
But the funny thing about this one, and they, believe it or not, it's kind of humorous. The Flames equipment manager was offered $500 on the spot from somebody in the crowd for James Neal's...
For his teeth?
For his teeth. Of course they said no.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then Neal also says that as he was falling, he could see the teeth. But here's the thing.
Slow motion, like a cartoon?
Yes.
Oh,
now,
man.
The video will make you go, ooh, it's not that bad because they were already fake.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, you had something going for him.
But yes, thankfully. But if you watch the video, I will say this. The blade of the stick did cut his tongue.
Ooh.
And I think it was like some of the bottom tooth like went against his. But it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's actually the least
gruesome
out of all of them.
Okay.
But you can watch it. It just happened in February.
Yeah.
And you can actually see his teeth. When
flying?
He gets. Yeah, you can see him flying.
Wow,
out.
That's HD right there.
Yeah.
1080p.
And so, my honorable mention was every one of everybody's favorites, Ryan Callahan, when he played for the Rangers. Remember this one?
Mm-hmm.
He was they were in LA.
Yep.
And he had took a real bad cut to the face. I think it was Anze Kopitar. I think it was Anze Kopitar. It was just a freak kind of thing. And he had a hole in his mouth, Mr. Callahan.
Wow.
But when they looked in after the game or when they got him off the ice, they saw a bunch of black and they got very nervous. But it turns out, are you ready? It was the tape from Kopitar's stick.
No! Yes. You're joking.
No. So it was okay. It was all right.
Yeah.
He was fine. I mean, he did have a hole in his mouth. But they were very concerned immediately, like, why is there black? Why is there black? You know, because that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It turned out it was just Kopitar's stick.
Tape.
Stick tape.
Wow. All right, so now I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
So we've talked about all these gnarly and gruesome dental traumas, not including when somebody breaks their leg or their ankle or gets sliced by a skate. And yet, they get... I'm probably going to get some hate tweets for this, but hockey players get paid a nice amount of money for their career. But they're still one of the lowest paid...
I believe they're the lowest paid.
Next to football. Basketball, baseball players.
Oh, right, sure. Okay. All right.
Right?
Putting them up against them, yeah.
Putting them up against them.
And probably even NASCAR folks. I don't know anything about that, but.
So, look, you make $8 million a year. It's still a nice chunk of change.
You play 82 games, got to break that down. Got to do the math.
Do the math, and then think about how many things that you could lose. Like, you know, you have concussion system, you know, concussions are an issue, although the game has really cleaned those up. But they're hard to avoid totally. You know, mouth guards and all of that, high sticking penalties and everything, but still hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
The wear and tear on your body. Now, granted, if you're going to be a hockey player, you know all of these, you know, possibilities and know that there are risks to playing, but just, yeah, do the math. Like, look at the math.
Mm-hmm.
I still contend, and this is not because we are on Lightning Power Play or we have our show Game Misconduct, that it is still one of the most, if not the most entertaining game up against football, basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And
agree.
Football, basketball.
Baseball.
See, look, I even forgot what it was called.
It bored y'all so much, you forgot about it.
Yeah. So, you know, and I know those games and those sports have their own injuries,
set of
injuries.
Of course.
But you don't see a lot of dental traumas in those sports, do you?
Maybe in baseball. Like
if a ball
hits somebody in the mouth.
Yeah, it can, or a bat, you know.
Oh, is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't watch.
Me neither. Let us know. Tweet us at Game Misconduct and let us know if people get hit in the face with bats. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But again, you know the work-related risks that go into playing any of these sports. I'm just saying it feels like hockey players can get a laundry list of injuries that are just debilitating and gruesome and gnarly.
And then they're back out there.
And then they're back out there playing and smiling and scoring goals. And it's not about them and their injury. It's about the team win.
And if I'm not, now, I don't know. I'm kind of maybe speaking incorrectly here, but I would assume that if you get a mouth injury, you're not allowed to take certain medications. I would assume you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So, you know, he talked about the anesthetic.
Yeah.
That's how he called it. So they're literally shooting him with Novocaine is what they're doing with these guys. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
because
drug
testing, too.
That's why I'm saying. So I don't think they're giving them like Vicodin or anything. I think they're literally giving them like.
They're numbing the area.
And they're back out there. I can't stress enough.
They're amazing physical specimens.
Their will to play.
Yes.
Their will to be a part of their team. Their will to help their team win. Their desire to hoist that cup. I don't care what you say when, you know, anybody that says, oh, you know, they don't even care if they... That is not true. These guys, literally, you get a tooth, get a root canal.
Go to your
dentist and get a root canal. And
no,
then guarantee you're not going back to work that day.
Yep. No, I know. It's, they're amazing.
We're
physical
not yelling
specimens.
At you, people. We're just saying, yeah. We're getting worked up here.
We're just sitting there listening to Dr. Rivera talk about all of the possible injuries and how quickly they have to move and get through it and diagnose and get them back on the ice. It's just the next time I see a dental trauma on the ice, I'm going to have that in the back of my head. And just already I'm like, wow, that's amazing that they're back out there. But I'm going to have a newfound respect for not only the player, but the medical professionals and the dental professionals that are in the back, stitching them up, getting them back out there, and then dealing with it, you know, when they come to their office to get them 100%. That's just, you know, it's really interesting to know what happens behind the scenes that you don't see every day.
Yeah. Because, that's why we love doing these shows.
Yep, because you go to a game and you see entertainment. Mm-hmm. But how does that... How do all these different things work together to give you that final product in that show?
Yep.
And it's more than just preseason practice and off-season conditioning. A lot of other things go into it. And so bravo to all the people that are behind the scenes to get these players on the ice and to put on an event and a hockey game for us. We're going to try to talk to some more of those unsung heroes this season, too, as well. That you don't see. They're behind the curtain and you don't see them, but they help with that environment that we get to see from the players on the ice to the lights to the national anthem.
Yeah. Equipment, trainers.
The people who pick up the trash at the arena after a game. Like, I don't know. The arena, you know, they go from hockey to concerts to events. And I don't know if anybody has noticed, but like when there's an event a day after a hockey game, you know, when we're in the tunnel or we're in the media area, those people are like the transition team, I think that's what they're called.
Yep.
They are there before the game is over. And as soon as that game is over, they start breaking that arena down.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
We actually did a show with Greg Linnelli up in the booth, the radio booth, when they were doing it.
Yeah, and they had an event the next day, and they were like covering the ice, pulling down the glass. Before we were even done our show,
the
rink was broken down.
Yeah, and it was just like, this is insane.
This
is incredible.
So there's a lot that goes into that 60-minute hockey game that we're just trying to show a little behind the curtain. Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's somebody else that you want us to feature on the show, please let us know. We're on Twitter, at GameMiz with a Z Conduct. You can also find us on Facebook. And that's it for this week. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Gil Rivera, the team dentist for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we'll catch you next time on Game Miz Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.